You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
All right, so the first slide we're going to show is there's three questions that I want everybody to be thinking about every night we do this. There are three questions that I want everybody to be thinking about every night that we do this. Everything you hear, I want it to be filtered through these three questions. Do I believe what I'm hearing? Question number one, do I even believe what I'm hearing? And we think the answer is going to be yes, but let's look at the other questions. Do I believe what I'm hearing? Is that belief evident in my behavior? Do I believe what I'm hearing? And is that belief evident in my behavior? So that's step two to believing. Step one to believing is knowing that you believe something. Step two to really believing it is having it in your lived behavior. And then question three, is that behavior bearing fruit in the lives of other people? And that's truly what it means to live a Christian life, is for our beliefs to turn into behaviors and for those behaviors to bear good fruit in the lives of the people around us, our friends, our spouses, our children, and all the people around us in our church and in the world. So do I believe what I'm hearing? Is that belief evident in my behavior? And is that behavior producing fruit in the lives of other people? For those of you who like the three dimensions of the Bible, that is an outer court, inner court, holy of holies reality. Do I believe? Step one of the Christian faith. Is that belief producing behaviors? Step two. And are those behaviors being taken up into the Holy Spirit and producing fruit in the lives of other people? That is the ministry of the saints. That is the gospel. And so tonight, the first topic we're going to discuss is human nature. What is human nature? Again, these 18 sessions are going to go through the entirety of the Christian faith, and it begins with, what is human nature? So question one, what are we by nature? We are naughty by nature. Just kidding. I just waited all week. I can't make jokes, but whatever. That's a 90s group. That's cool. We are part of God's creation, made in the image of God. We are part of God's creation, made in the image of God. I want to look at Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." What are we by nature? We are part of God's creation, made in the image of God. And why I chose that verse specifically is because when you read Genesis 1, every time God creates something, he speaks to the source of that thing. He speaks to the ground to create trees. He speaks to the waters to produce fish. He speaks to the sky to produce birds. He speaks to the land to produce animals. He always speaks to the source of something. So when he's going to create us, he speaks to himself. Let us create man in our image. God is our divine source. His nature in us is the natural. When we talk about the natural, we should be talking about our original nature, which is made in the image of God. Our nature, in its purest sense, is the natural, and that is made in the image of God. Sin is contra-natural. Sin is contra-natural. Sin is the breakdown of the natural into a less-than-natural reality. Redemption is the supernatural bringing us back to our natural state, which is made in the image of God. So who, what are we by nature? By nature, we are made in the image of God. Sin has broken down that nature to a contra-natural state. And the supernatural is God's divine work in us to bring us back to our natural selves, which is creatures made in the image of God. Image in Hebrew means resemblance, but it also means empty. We are empty vessels that are filled with God's very life, his breath. And so he is our source, he is our natural, and he is what fills us. Do I believe that? Is that belief evidenced in my behavior? Is that behavior producing fruit in the lives of other people? If you have any questions about that, write them down. We're going to move on to the next one. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means that we are free to make choices, to love, to create, to reason, and to live in harmony with creation and with God. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? It means that we are free to make choices, to love, to create, to reason, and to live in harmony with creation and with God. Free will. Free will is a will fully open to the love and desires of God and always willing in his presence. Free will is different than free choice. Our choices are greatly affected by our will. Have you ever made a mistake and said, I didn't have the willpower? I need to have stronger willpower. I should not have eaten that 15th slice of pizza, and I did because I have no willpower. Our choices are immediately and exclusively affected by our will. So what is a free will? A free will is a will that is open to the love and desires of God and always willing to have a yes to him in his presence. I'm going to read some scriptures here from Romans chapter 7. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about his will versus his choices. He says this, "For I do not understand my own actions." I'm so happy that verse is in the Bible. "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." Do you hear that? No willpower. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, because now he's contra nature because of sin, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I don't have the willpower, the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members, in my body. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, this contra-natural body? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh, in my willpower, I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So I read that to say there's a difference between free will and free choice. We all have free choice, but our will, because of sin, is no longer free. It is bound and enslaved to sin. Therefore, we make sinful decisions. The Christian life, the life of confirmation, is a life where we are going back to having a free will. He's freeing our will as we repent, as we are discipled, as we read the scriptures, as we grow in Christian maturity. Our will is becoming free again. And the more free our will becomes, the better our choices will be. We are made to be influenced. True freedom is saying yes to God. Anything else is slavery to sin. True freedom is saying yes to God. That is true freedom. Why? Because Jesus is the free life, and the free life is always saying yes to the Father. So when we say no to God, we are no longer free. We are enslaved. If we were free, we would always say yes to God, because that's what the free person Jesus did. Freedom is saying yes to God. Slavery to sin is saying no to God. Okay, we are going to read Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, not saying anything, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." Sidebar, the husband ruling over the wife is not a blessing from God. It is actually part of the consequences of sin. We'll talk about that another time. And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Happy Ash Wednesday. I'm going to skip to verse 22. "Then the Lord said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken." With that story in mind, the next question: why then do we live apart from God and out of harmony with creation? Why then do we live apart from God and out of harmony with creation? From the beginning, human freedom has been under demonic attack, tempting us to live enslaved to ourselves as freedom. The enemy wants us to think that doing the things we want is what makes us free, when what really makes us free is living open to the desires of God. Evil existed in the garden with no explanation as to why. The reason why the Bible doesn't tell us why evil originally existed is because we would probably weaponize the reason if we knew. So all we know is that God did not create evil, but we know that evil existed in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible doesn't tell us why, so we probably should spend more of our time learning how to love our neighbor than trying to philosophize about where evil came from. Evil tempts us away from God, disguising freedom as the ability to say no to God. Evil disguises freedom as the ability to say no to God. People think that because if you can say no to God, that means you're free. But saying no to God is the product of deception and slavery to sin. The free person is a person who says yes to God, like Jesus. Evil redirects our will from God, which is freedom, into the material world, which is slavery. So evil turns our will from the desires of God to our own desires, and we end up using the material world around us to gain advantage of our desires, and we become competitive against the environment, against other people, even against our own self. We see it with Adam and Eve. Immediately when they sin, they begin using creation to cover themselves, no longer serving creation, but covering themselves with it, ripping it down, breaking it off the trees to cover themselves. They start to blame each other. The woman made me do it. The serpent made me do it. God, this is your fault. You gave me this person that made me do it. So immediately they go from serving creation to exploiting it, to looking at their own self and not liking what they see, to looking at each other and needing to hide from each other, to blaming each other, to blaming God, to hiding from God. Evil redirects our will away from God and into the material. And this point has to be made. The material is not bad. The material is not bad. The material is only broken when we see it as divine or when we worship it. But the material world is what God called good all through Genesis chapter 1. Our flesh is good, the material world is good. There are 7 different words for flesh that Paul uses. And in the English, we only have one. Most of the time Paul is talking about the flesh, it's a good thing that we are misusing. Why? Because evil redirects our will away from God and into the material. So the final question for session 1, what help is there for us? I love that question. What help is there for us? Our help is in God. God is the one we sinned against. God is the one we turned away from. And the minute we sinned, God turned toward us and began to bring the help that we need to heal from our sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they hid because God was showing up. He wasn't running away. He was showing up. After sinning, we hide from God and use creation to cover ourselves. That is the beginning of materialism. We blame each other and creation. We even blame God. This is the beginning of disintegration. But God doesn't leave or forsake us. He covers our nakedness and refuses to leave us in the state we were in. The Bible says that God said, "Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." What God is saying is, they have fallen, they have become broken. I will not let them eat from the tree of life now, because they will forever stay in that state. So I'm going to have them leave. They're going to die, but the process of redemption and resurrection is also going to begin, so that they can be raised to newness of life and eat forever from the tree of life, who is Jesus. He leaves the garden with us. He sends us prophets and scriptures, signs and wonders, leading to himself, the true Adam. Adam hides behind the tree. Jesus hangs in front of the tree on the cross. Adam hides from God. Jesus hangs on the cross begging for the presence of God. Why have you forsaken me? The Bible says that the ground is going to produce thorns for Adam. Jesus wears those thorns on his head. The Bible says that Eve is now going to have pain in childbearing. Jesus bursts with blood and water from the cross, redeeming that pain of childbearing. As you've heard before, Adam took the tree of life and made it the tree of death, and Jesus took the tree of death, the cross, and turned it back into the tree of life. The Eucharist is the meal that we get to re-eat, not because it's grabbed at by us, like Adam and Eve grabbed the fruit, but it is handed to us by the true Adam. We don't take it, we receive it. Confirmation is us recommitting to living a life of helping people not hide from God, but helping to cover people, helping to cover their shame, helping to cover their guilt, helping to bring them out from behind the trees into the presence of Almighty God, who is there to clothe them, redeem them, and heal them. That is why we make confirmation, because we are confirming that we are joining God in that work. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that this would be believed by us, that it would become part of our behavior, and that it would become part of the fruit that is being produced in the lives of other people. In your name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.